88 Bible, 866-88 Bible.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the show, and together we welcome you to the day before the first day of autumn. Today is Monday, September 21st, 2020, when we're here 24 hours from now. It will be into autumn. You would not know it in Tucson because we're having the endless summer. It's day after day over, around 100 degrees, driest summer on record. And please, this haze, day after day, I miss the bright blue sky and the puffy white clouds, but hopefully that's will be coming soon. We are bringing people together here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 The Voice, your place for trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Every Monday on The Buckmaster Show, we begin the program with our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Please check out their revamped and updated website, now open for e-commerce and featuring, I've got a little bit into this, the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique maps and prints, 2 dozen items there that would look beautiful framed up by Mo. And if you're doing those Zoom callings that everybody's into these days, why not have something very nice over your shoulder, an old map or a print? Bring a little class to your Zoom session. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Our Monday political face-off commentators this week, Bruce Ash. Bruce has just wrapped up his fourth four-year term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Bruce, how are you?
I'm well, and I actually bought one of those maps.
I know you did.
And also kind of a tropical flora fauna piece as well, and they're in our office, and they look lovely.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bruce. Dr. Don Jorgensen returns to our in-studio sessions. He's been telephonic for the last, couple of months while he's been up in the Seattle area. Don is former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and I want to say, first of all, Don, congratulations on the President's Volunteer Service Award. This is a high honor that has been bestowed to you, upon you, by the presidential administration and the humanitarian organization Shelterbox USA, which is a disaster relief organization. Good to see you, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, Shelterbox is a global disaster relief organization. We respond after natural or man-made disasters where folks are displaced, or more commonly after hurricanes and tornadoes. Think of places like Haiti, the Philippines, where they're just wiped out. Families have nothing. And Shelterbox is the only organization that goes the last mile and makes sure that the aid that's provided, everything from tents to filtration to mosquito netting, blankets, cooking equipment, whatever is needed for that family, is delivered directly to the family.
How are they different from the Red Cross?
Red Cross provides, think of it as kind of first aid.
Right.
All the way through. We're providing actually equipment. We're getting to these villages that can be anywhere. And we're talking about, think about a box, a huge box that we bring in with an actual tent that can sleep 6 to 10 folks. Families may live there for 6 months,
hence the name Shelterbox.
Right, yeah. And it comes with all these other equipment, solar lights, everything else that allows them to survive, even in many of these huge refugee camps in Africa, places like that. So it's delivering that, and they work in partnership with other global organizations like the Red Cross to make sure that there's coordination.
And I'm sure Bruce extends his congratulations
I certainly do. It just shows that the work that Don does and so many people like Don there's no political sort of emphasis. It is truly humanitarian relief. And, when the proceeds go directly to and there's that lack of a middleman sort of a thing,
right.
It really does make a difference. The direct receipt, the delivery is really essential. I've seen that in so many different places. So congratulations to you and to the organization. That's a great honor.
And one other point about this organization and how well it's received and respected is in the past 2 years, 2 years in a row, it was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
That's how impressive the work is and why I'm proud to represent them. So yeah, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bruce.
I'm going to have to research that, find out more about that. Probably just shelterbox.org.
Shelterboxusa.org.
Perfect.
So there's this organization would also maybe be in Germany or Japan or...
Yes, it's shelterbox.org. The original is based in England.
Okay.
And this was set up to spread the word in the U.S. and
great.
To
well,
increase the reach.
Thanks again, Don. Just when you thought 2020 couldn't get any more chaotic, the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Friday night has set off a political earthquake that could very well affect the fragile economy because of the uncertainty. We're seeing some of that today, a bad day on Wall Street. And certainly it could affect the impact of the election, which Bruce and Don is now just 6 weeks from tomorrow. Will it impact the election? First of all, we'll begin with you, Bruce.
Well, I don't think that anything this large wouldn't be an influence on the election, probably for both sides. And I would take some exception to say that this has created chaos. There's a constitutional process with all of this, and the president and the leader of the Senate, Mr. McConnell, are making those plans to proceed right now. The chaos will be the yelling and screaming, which is soon to follow, and hopefully won't.
What do you think, Don? Is this going to be an impact on our election, and should we wait until a new president or the current president after the election? Should we wait to decide what happens?
Two different questions, which take a lot. But let me say first, this is one of those rare times where the death of a public figure has caused a strong emotional reaction among folks. And mm-hmm. that just speaks to how revered Ruth Bader Ginsburg was. You know, she was to women's rights in this country that Thurgood Marshall was to civil rights. I mean, that huge a stature. And I think it's just wonderful that her passing is being respected the way it is. And she'll be lying in state, both in the Supreme Court and in the Capitol. And
you're right about her. You're right about her. I mean, look, there were lots and lots of times when she voted with Republicans or, you know, with Republican-appointed right. judges. She was brilliant, and her personal courage from the time that she was studying for the law and then after receiving her law degree and the things that she had to get to, her work for equal rights, you're right. I mean, she is really akin to Thurgood Marshall and was richly deserving of serving on the Supreme Court. And whether you agree with her or not, she was a great jurist, a great legal mind, and she worked and worked and worked and worked.
Very much. And before I get to the other part of the question, appointment and the vote really speaks to a different Senate. 23 years ago, 27 years ago.
42 days.
She was elected by a vote of 93-6. Think about that. Can you even imagine that happening today or down the road? That's back when the Senate really acted as more of a deliberative body and not kind of a knee-jerk power-only mm-hmm, mm-hmm. body, which is what we're seeing today. So the effect on the election, I think, is twofold. One, amongst the voters, you're not going to change minds, but you're going to awaken folks and perhaps women that realize, yes, equal rights and women's rights could be at stake in this election now. And I think it may remove a lot of complacency there.
It could bring some people in from the sidelines, is what
exactly,
you're saying. Yeah.
Exactly, and energize those folks mm-hmm. who are not paying as much attention, realizing, particularly on the Democratic side, that yes, this affects the Supreme Court and it affects their lives. Republicans have always done a much better job of making elections about the courts than Democrats have. This awakens that. In terms of what happens in the Senate, and elections, it really comes down to a question of integrity. Are the Republicans who said last time that they shouldn't have a vote but this close to an election, are they going to stick to their word or are they going to break their word? So it's a matter there, a question of honor and integrity for folks like Lindsey Graham, who's already stated he's not going to keep his word. Mitch McConnell, not going to do that. We'll see what happens there. And looking at the swing states where you have folks like Martha McSally, Susan Collins, Tom Tillis down in North Carolina, I think folks will be watching there to see where they're going to stand on this based on what they've said previously, if they're going to respect the kind of the will of the people and respect the traditions of the Senate, or are they going to go to this new approach that the Republicans have, which is simply power for power's sake?
Bruce, hold your reaction, your comments. It is time to take a break. And I will add one thing to Don's remarks that I just learned really over the weekend, that the winner of the Kelly-McSally race will be sworn in November, I believe, because
they can be as early as November 30th.
Because she was not elected to the Senate. This was an appointed.
She was replacing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's a little sidebar there. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Venture, Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Property Management and Real Estate. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Please check out their revamped website, looking very good. They are open now for e-commerce. Don Jorgensen is back with us in studio after a couple of months up in the Seattle area. And Bruce Ash is with us as well. Bruce, it's your turn. I did have to take the break. Now it's your turn.
Yeah, just in answer to Don's comments, I would disagree that it was the Republicans who have created the kind of bad feelings and obstructionism in these Senate approvals. I will remind you that, you know, Ginsburg's whole nomination and confirmation process took 42 days. Don said that she was confirmed by an overwhelming majority. There were a couple things that happened, and Harry Reid was part of it, and Max Baucus is part of it as well. They removed a filibuster on these court appointments, and also they took from a two-thirds down to a simple majority. When that happened, it did change how the Senate operates. But we've seen since President Trump was sworn in, even nominations that should be confirmed easily with very qualified individuals are dragged out. The Kavanaugh process was unbelievably acrimonious and bitter and toxic. There's nothing in the Constitution that restricts the president from making this nomination. It's up to the Senate to approve it. Frankly, the Merrick Garland nomination, there was no way he was going to get that appointment anyway. The Democrats didn't have a majority in the Senate. It was very unlikely with his positions that he was going to be approved. And those are just the facts. I mean, Don might want to dispute them, but you know, elections have consequences. And one thing, we're coming into an election. If there are only eight justices on the Supreme Court, and if there are crucial cases that go to the Supreme Court as a result of this election, to be stalemated with a 4-4 decision is an awful gamble to take on the next 4 years and for the future of our country. And I'm not bothered at all by the expediency that the president and Senator McConnell are taking to fill the seat. And I think that Barbara LaGoya or Judge Barrett, I mean, there are tons and tons of judges that this president has said he is going to appoint. We still haven't heard anything about the proposed nominations that would come from a Biden White House, I can assure you. They're going to be far different than anybody that the president is suggesting.
Don, if the tables were turned and Democrats were in control, wouldn't they be pushing to get it done immediately as well?
Well, not necessarily. Let's look back 4 years ago when Merrick Garland was not even given a hearing 11 months before the election. And one of Mitch McConnell's rationale was to invoke what he called the Biden rule, because it was Joe Biden way back when who said that it should wait until the next president is elected and inaugurated. So that tells you what the Democrats would have done. They would have kept their word. If Mitch McConnell he decided to do that, as Bruce pointed out correctly, Harry Reid changed the rules. Mitch McConnell used those rules 4 years ago. Okay, we don't like it, but so be it. And if he stayed consistent this time, then fine, you could understand that. But what we're seeing now is someone who's flip-flopping, who no longer has that integrity. You can't trust their word. And so there's no, it's very difficult then to consider anything else moving forward. And yes, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was approved in a very short period of time, just 45 days or so, but it wasn't 30 some days before an election. And that's the difference. And if the Republicans are so certain that Donald Trump is going to be reelected, then what's wrong with staying consistent, keeping their word, waiting till after the inauguration? But that's not what's happening. So they are setting a new precedent. And that new precedent is use raw power to gain whatever it is you wish to gain, to no matter what the means are to the end you
can
desire.
Can this be done in just in this short amount of time?
Yes.
You have to have You have to have hearings.
Well, again.
Or do you?
There's nothing in the rules that state you have to.
Really?
Yeah. It is. I think it's true that Mitch McConnell, if he chose, could bring it right to the floor of the Senate and ram it through. Yeah.
All right.
To change the Senate rules, but they have a majority.
Let me, if I can, correct the record a little bit. The Biden rule. This is what the Biden rule is, and I quote this. I made it absolutely clear that I would go forward with the confirmation process as chairman even a few months before the presidential election, period, paragraph, end of story. There have been 29 Supreme Court nominations made in the election year or prior to an inauguration.
But none of them started this soon.
That's not true. There have been some that actually happened between the election day and inauguration. Justice Ginsburg was confirmed in 42 days. Justice Stevens in 19 days. Justice O'Connor, 33 days. Chairman Dianne Feinstein said in 2016, the court needs 9 justices to function properly. It is vital to our judicial system. And there's no reason not to have this process go forward. This seat did not belong to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It did not belong to the left. It belongs to the people. And in 2016, there was a completely different set of circumstances. Garland wasn't going to get his nomination approved. The Democrats were in the minority, and it was not going to happen. And there was no reason to go through that process. We do have every right.
So you're saying McConnell had the right, which he did, to ignore the process because he didn't think something might happen, rather than
It wasn't going to happen. And you and I both know that.
Well, I don't know that, number one. And number two, there have been times in the past where you had a different nominee put into place. What we had, though, is Mitch McConnell shut down the process for 11 months, stating that was the order of things as he thought it should be. Lindsey Graham came along and said that's how things ought to operate in the future as well. And here they are flip-flopping again, telling us once again that their word is mud.
Well, Chuck Schumer said, every day that goes without a 9th justice is another day the American people's business is not getting done. He said that also in 2016.
What business is not getting done right now? We have an election coming. There are no cases right now, other than some
no,
that
we
know.
No, they're going to start hearing cases immediately.
Well, and the one case that the Republicans are looking at, that Donald Trump has already admitted he's looking at, is the case for overturning a legitimate election. He has already said he wants the Supreme Court, which they can't do. He doesn't realize this. He wants the Supreme Court to rule that the results on election night are the only results.
That's
and
up
ignore
to the
mail
court. That's up to the court to decide.
We know that. Apparently, Donald Trump doesn't. But we also know why he wants this rammed in, because he's concerned that it may wind up back at the Supreme Court, like we saw with Bush v. Gore back in 2000. He's also concerned that once he is not president, he has a lot of cases with his name on it that may wind up before the court, both personal and political.
Since running for office in 2016, Donald Trump has been fully transparent with his list of potential Supreme Court nominees. They're all qualified individuals, and he'll make the choices from there. The voters elected him president fully knowing that he would nominate to the Supreme Court. Well, and Biden, he's been hiding on his Supreme Court nominations the same way that he's been hiding in his basement now for the last 4 or 5 months.
Well, we know that's not true. And we know I have to laugh when you use the word Donald Trump and transparent, because those words don't go together. You just have to look at his now recorded lies about what he knew and didn't know about the about COVID-19, and the fact that we now have over 200,000 Americans dead in less than a year, in large part due to his catastrophic mismanagement. We have
more proof,
it's estimated,
of
at least 9 million jobs that will not be restored. We have small businesses that can never gain back what they lost because of his failures to act. And
so
talking
more
about
action
the court,
taken by Democratic have, state governors who continue
that's
to shut down their businesses.
So the buck doesn't stop there.
It could be about 35 days then if he makes this announcement after the funeral and the folks paying their respects later this week, there'd be about 35, 36 days, and that's doable, you're saying, Bruce? Ash.
Justice Stevens was confirmed in 19 days, Justice O'Connor in 33 days.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they can ram it through if they choose and turn their backs on their word and
could that motivate, though, Democrats to come out and vote?
Well, I don't think they need a whole lot more motivation. You can see what's already happening in Virginia with the early vote and the lineup, despite the Trump mob that was outside trying to intimidate them.
And there have been, I think, 10 states are already early voting. And we've got Arizona early voting 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Right. Ballots go out on October 7th.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out their new website, moesgallery.com. And, of course, they would love to have you come by and visit them in person at Fort Lowell and Dodge. We'll be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We have a station-wide effort underway this week to help out the Sunnyside School Foundation. The goal is to raise $50,000. If you'd like to help, please go to kvoi.com, click on the Sunnyside Gives Day banner, and the proceeds will go to the Relief Fund and Excellence in Education to help continue investing in teachers, students, and Sunnyside families. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Green Things, of course, one of our great sponsors. More and more people are saying, you know, the flowers struggled, and we need new flowers for the autumn, and they can cover you over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. After all, they've got 33 greenhouses on 13 acres, so I know they had a big weekend. A lot of people are getting in the mood to do some gardening. Hopefully, things will start to cool off a little bit here, and we get below maybe, you know, it's been 10 degrees above normal, both the high and the low, but hopefully something to move the high pressure out of the area and get back to more normal conditions. The Buckmaster Show welcomes now our education contributor, and that is Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, where he is also former head of the Department of Education Policy Studies and Practices. Dr. Hendricks is a former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. He joins us now on the live line. Bob, how are you?
Fine, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing pretty well. You know, we had Dr. Trujillo on Thursday. We had Crystal Foster on the show on Friday, kind of taking a deep dive into what TUSD is doing right now. I was reflecting on this over the weekend, Bob Hendricks. I don't think the normal, if you can call it that, it could be next fall before you finally get students back into the classroom, where you have most of the students back kind of on one-on-one.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I don't want to agree, but I think you could be right. I mean, we're rolling out the hybrid model right now, and, you know, districts are beginning to open. Sarita already opened, and Vail opened today, and we've got Flying Wells and Amphi, and then, of course, TUSD, Moran and Sunnyside to follow in late October. But and they're all going to follow the hybrid model, which actually physically, and we've talked about this before, does make sense because we've got numbers of students that can be accommodated in the classroom with smaller class sizes, and with fewer students, we can monitor and teachers can make sure that they're socially distanced. But it's going to be a challenge because most of the models call for students to be in the classroom 2 days a week. So we still got those 3 days at home with remote learning. And from what I'm hearing from districts, there's still about 20-25% of parents are saying, no, we're not even going to do that. We're going to keep our kids home, and we'll just continue with the remote learning right now because we're not sure that we're ready for our kids to go back to school. And districts are accommodating that. So they're going to have the hybrid model. They're going to have the remote model. And meanwhile, you've got this group of parents that are saying, we want school full time, and they're leaving the public school system. Superintendents are telling me that they've lost, you know, a sizable or significant population of students that have moved either to charter schools or private schools, which, Bill, have been open for, some of them have been open for quite a while now. No one seems to know, you know, what, how they follow the guidelines, but I can tell you that I have a neighbor who has three school-age children, and she's been pushing, you know, for schools to open full-time because she and her husband work a full work day. And so they found a charter school that's operating 5 days a week. She told me she doesn't know if the teachers are certified. And she said, quite frankly, I don't care.
Wow.
At this point, because my kids have to be in school. And I said, well, what about the special programs? Because I know one of her children is in band, and they all like music, and they're all athletic, and they like PE. She said, well, the school doesn't have any of those things. But she said, they are open 5 days a week, and that's my criteria. And she said, when things get better, I'll move my kids back to my regular school. But right now, I need some place, you know, to take care of my kids. You know, I don't know how to respond to that as an educator. It could be a good situation, but it might not be. And I don't know, we've talked about this before, I really don't know how much oversight some of those institutions have. But at least in the case of this parent, and I understand there are others who are willing to use as their central criteria, are you open 5 days a week? And if you are, we'll go ahead and do that for now.
But this is a disaster for public schools who are losing and hemorrhaging students to the charter school system. This is going to really the exodus, this will encourage the exodus, won't it?
Yeah, I think it will. And, you know, part of me says that some of those parents who have been very loyal and believe in the public school system will return. But I don't believe all of them will. I think, you know, they'll find some comfort in, you know, a situation that, you know, is more permanent and regular routine. And their kids may be malleable to moving into a different situation. But it does really kind of strike at the heart of business as usual for schools. And I think everyone's going to have to take a look at that, because I don't think it's going to be the way it used to be. It's the new norm, and maybe charter schools are going to have more of a presence, and private schools are going to have more of a presence. But I do know that some of those schools have a very different configuration, and I'm not being negative about it. I'm just saying that it's different, and so parents are going to have to make the decision based on what their needs might be, maybe out of convenience, maybe out of their desire to have a different kind of instructional program or safety. Whatever reason they make that decision, I think it's being made. And, you know, at the same time, Bill, I don't know if Superintendent Trujillo talked about this, but you know, there have been an increase in teacher resignations, and there's a dire need for substitute teachers. I mean, there is a problem on the other end, on the delivery end. There are not the availability of personnel that are going to be necessary to make this work. Now, there are teachers that do not want to return to the classroom for whatever reason. Some of them have, you know, health and safety issues personally or in their family. And I think for that population of parents that don't want their children back in school right now, some of the districts can accommodate those teachers and have them continue to work at home. But that's only about 20%. You know, so there are going to be teachers that are going to be uncomfortable coming back into the classroom, but they may have to come back because there's going to be a situation where there's going to be a major need, and there may be a vacuum here that is going to have to be filled somehow, maybe with teachers that, you know, really aren't totally qualified. State may have to step in and provide some kind of provision for them because the people are not out there. So, you know, we already had a problem in the state with fewer teachers, and now it's worsened.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We've still got a lot to talk with Dr. Robert Hendricks about, including what kind of an education are these kids getting online, and especially if they've been online, say maybe a year or more. Are they going to be behind in the learning curve? We'll address that with Dr. Robert Hendricks as we continue. 790-2040 if you would like to add to the conversation. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning for a road trip over to Silver City. So you'll be ready when New Mexico once again reopens to tourists. Hopefully that decision will be coming very soon. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for ideas on things to do and places to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We continue with our discussion with longtime educator Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. If students don't get back to the classroom with traditional one-on-one learning until perhaps the fall semester of next year, that would be basically a year and a half if you consider the spring semester of this year as kind of lost and going to virtual. That's a year and a half of virtual, and I wonder what kind of an education are these kids going to have as far as are they going to be behind in the learning curve, Dr. Hendricks?
Well, based on my experience and knowledge of child development, if you have a student who's working at grade level or above grade level, who has a lot of parental support and who's exposed to a lot of enrichment activities around the home and who's had a fairly good structural virtual experience, that child's going to do okay, in my opinion. It might be a bump in the road, but that child's going to do fine. The children that I think we really need to worry about are those that are already have a serious gap in their learning process and where they don't have those enrichment activities, where there is not the opportunities for them to learn and grow, you know, outside the regular classroom environment. They're already behind, they're already struggling, and to take another year or year and a half on top of that, it could be devastating. It could be devastating. It probably is probably going to be a real academic and emotional scar in terms of their development. And so those are the children, that population of children, I think we really need to worry about. And whatever communities can do, whether they're social agencies or school institutions to provide that extra enrichment, that extra development. Once we can get children back into a physical environment to do that, we'll, you know, hopefully help them, but there's no question that it's going to be harmful, in my opinion.
What about the young kids, like first graders, second graders doing virtual learning?
Well, you know, for children that are young, you know, their play is work, and the whole concept of socialization and interacting with others and learning from each other and sharing socially and be able to articulate ideas one-on-one. Those are important experiences, and we're in some ways depriving children of that due to something that is really totally out of our control. I know in the virtual experience, I've seen teachers in Zoom sessions and Google sessions, you know, interact one-on-one with children in a virtual group session, but it's not the same thing. It really isn't. It's that bonding. It's that personal experience that you don't get because you can't address a child's needs when they're needed when that event happens. Virtual just doesn't take the place. It's better than nothing, but it's not like the one-on-one experience.
And the hardship on these families, you can see why they are turning to places like charter schools that are open 5 days a week. It's a terrific hardship on some of these parents.
Well, we've built a society that really is very dependent on schools, on daycare centers, on athletic programs to share the responsibility of raising our kids. And you take that away and you throw it all back into the shoulders of parents who, honestly, I believe, would assume that responsibility if they didn't have all these other responsibilities that are primary to the survival of their family. And so it's truly a dilemma that is just it's heartbreaking to even think about it.
Do you worry then about the long-term consequences, not only on this, on the K through 12, but also even the higher education environment? There's going to be a real shakeup when we come out of this, isn't there?
I think there is, and I don't think anybody knows really where it's going to go. I do believe on the positive side that we have learned to be more creative in terms of how we deliver instruction, that we've realized that there are other ways that can effectively help students to learn that can be paired with the one-on-one experience. And hopefully that will make education a better experience, a better process for everyone. But we don't know how all that's going to shake out at this point.
I know you've been involved working at the university level, and you have to kind of wonder how this experience will affect perhaps high schoolers who are thinking of a career in education. There may be some second thoughts about that after all of this, Bob Hendricks.
Yeah, I say second thoughts and maybe third thoughts.
Yes.
I mean, I just think it's a difficult, challenging profession, and to put this as another challenge or as another obstacle in the road of a young person who really wants to work in a socially giving experience such as teaching is, it might be a point of discouragement, and they may just look for something else. And let's hope that's not the case. But, you know, as we see people leaving the profession, young people leaving the profession now, saying, this is not what I signed up to do. I wanted that one-on-one experience, and I'm not getting it. I'm not experiencing it. It's disappointing to me, disappointing to the point where I'm willing to give up, you know, what I prepared for. I'm going to look for another kind of job. Now, maybe some of those individuals will come back when things are more normal, but I don't know. I see this. It's very foreboding in terms of what our future could be for the profession of teaching.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Bob. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next month.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Hendricks, one-time superintendent of the year, well-known in the Flowing Wells area. In fact, there's actually a school that is named after Dr. Robert Hendricks in the Flowing Wells district to honor his longtime service there. Our service to you is coming to a close here on the Buckmaster Show for this Monday. A lot of content, as usual, in a one-hour program. We try to do that every day for you. We will do it again tomorrow at 12:04. Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great afternoon.